Blog Talk Radio.
Turnbuckle Turmoil fans, welcome to the show here on another Sunday afternoon. QT and Sign Guy with you as usual. If you're looking for some wrestling today, there's a huge show that is in the honor of Brian Christopher today. Jackson, Tennessee, there is a show featuring Jerry the King Lawler and Dangerous Doug Gilbert, among many others. Also, if you're in our neck of the woods up here in Portland, Oregon, at the North Portland Eagles, you can see blue collar wrestling like usual on a Sunday. So get out there and support the local independents wherever they may be near you. And without further ado, I would like to welcome our guest onto the show today, kicking off Super Fan Month here on Turnbuckle Turmoil. David Wills, are you with us?
You're very kind, very kind. But you're absolutely right. Go support local wrestling. Independent wrestling is great wrestling. If you're not seeing it, you're missing the superstars of the future and the current stars of the day and the legends of yesteryear. So my first thing I got to do is say amen to what you're talking about. Good stuff. Thanks for having me on, by the way, guys.
Our pleasure to have you. And since it's your first time here with us, we're going to put a little bit different spin on our traditional first-timers question. But how did you first find professional wrestling?
I don't know if I'm actually correct on this. It's pretty bad not giving an answer, not knowing if you're right. Well, there's politicians who can't do that sometimes. But seriously, though, the first real idea I had about pro wrestling was when I was living in the Atlanta, Georgia area, and we had Superstars of Wrestling on WATL 36, which was an independent station. Well, they showed 8 hours of wrestling every Saturday night, and if you had Superstation TBS 17, you were able to get the WCW lead-in, which was from 6 to 8. So you could actually sit and watch wrestling from 6 o'clock till 3 in the morning on Saturday nights. That right there did wonders for me not having any kind of a date life years later. But as far as wrestling, I remember seeing the Bill Watts Mid-South UWF show, and I'd watch a little bit of everything. And I remember seeing these were the days of DiBiase, Duggan, and Doc. Steve Williams, daughter of Steve Williams, Hacksaw Duggan, and Ted DiBiase. And Eddie Gilbert came out, who is I've been wowed by his talent still today. Came out and said, I'm not going to associate with the Russians anymore. He was hanging out with Nikita Koloff, Ivan Koloff, and Cortesia Chernenko. So I'm not going to hang out with these guys anymore. I'm still going to manage the Blade Runners, which made it believable because he was a heel, bad guy. But I want Bill Watts to come out, and I want to give him the Russian flag. What, Bill Watts wouldn't do it. Well, he's not a sucker. Gilbert comes out there again. I want to talk to Bill Watts. Wasn't doing it still. Finally comes out there. Watts comes out. And Gilbert said, you taught me a lesson. Beat him up after dealing with the Russians and all. And then after that, the Russians came in there to attack Bill Watts. Somehow, I guess Gilbert pulled out a small shovel, a trowel. They beat up Cowboy Bill Watts and laid him out, busted him open, and they were putting the Russian flag over defeated opponents, and then they put the Russian flag over the Cowboy. And I just, it was a setup, and I was hooked. It's like, it's not a soap opera, but it hooked me in like General Hospital, Dallas, all my children view. Yeah, buddy, I was hooked, and I'm kind of still hooked today. But yeah, that was watching it. And of course, I saw the WWF and the NWA and Continental and Memphis, which is one of my favorite territories, the local promotions in Georgia. It was a few years, but I guess that was about 85, 86, a few years away from having Georgia Championship Wrestling be on television. They had went under before then. But they had Deep South, they had Southern Championship Wrestling. So I've always enjoyed the smaller promotions, the local promotions, and you know, promotions with a lot of angles like Memphis. Good stuff, good stuff. But here I go on. Don't let me blether. Cut me off when you want to. I'm good with that.
Oh, you're good, brother. Now, I was similar to you in that Eddie Gilbert hooked me in professional wrestling, but the way it was with me was a little bit later than you. That angle where he was running roughshod as the lead heel and his father, Tommy Gilbert, was the senior referee, and it caused all kinds of conflict. Tommy Gilbert resigning his position because of his son's actions. Do you remember that one
again,
at all?
Bill Watts. Again, Bill Watts, UWF. I actually had the pleasure years later, while I never did meet Eddie Gilbert, at the Gulf Coast Wrestlers Reunion, because, you know, they want you to have been in the wrestling business. And since I've done some managing and re-announcing, they were gracious to let me come. Before he passed, I was able to meet Tommy Gilbert, and Thomas Gilbert is such a sweet man, such a kind man. I think the world of him. I think the world of Peggy. Absolutely, just great stuff. Doug is awesome. Really, I do remember that. Gilbert was a phenomenal talent. I don't feel he really got his due. He really, and granted, you know, there are reasons for that. There are reasons for everything, you know. But still, huge fan of Eddie Gilbert. Huge fan of Tommy Gilbert. Tommy Gilbert was amazing as the, you know, the referee who was trying to do the right thing. And the other thing about Tommy Gilbert is when Gilbert and Eddie and Doug came over to Memphis, and Tommy Gilbert is this big jerk running around helping him burn Randy Hales and, you know, Jerry beating up Jerry Lawler, Eddie Marlin. It was fantastic. You know, good stuff. But absolutely, I remember that too.
Well, we could spend several hours, I believe, talking about the virtues of the Gilbert family. I'm 100% with you on that. But one of the things I know that is close to your heart, as it is with mine, the Memphis territory, so many of the greatest names in the history of the business passed through Memphis. It had some of the most memorable matches, some of the most memorable angles, and it lasted much longer than any of the other territories that went out of business either in the mid to late 80s or the early 90s. They lasted well into the 90s. What would
say? And look at all the stars that come through there. Your Eddie Gilbert, Doug Gilbert, Tommy Gilbert, Jerry Lawler. If you haven't seen the work of Jimmy Hart there, and you've only seen WCW or WWE or F, you're missing Jimmy Hart's best work. Jimmy Hart, superstar Bill Dundee. Oh my God, he is fantastic in Memphis. Just so many great talents, you know. And then you saw guys who showed up, you know, Tracy Smothers, Buddy Landell was there, Dutch Mantel. I actually was able to, even though it was past the time when Memphis, CWA, USWA, whatever, went under, I was able and very blessed to be able to actually work a show for Corey Macklin, really, I get a call. Hey, man, Dave. I was like, hello, Mr. Hughes. How are you doing? Curtis the Cat Hughes, Mr. Hughes, Total Protection. He's a superstar. He's a friend. Hey, man, I need a ride. I don't want to go anywhere. I don't want to go anywhere over this Labor Day, Memorial Day, Mr. Hughes. I'm tired of it. Hey, man, come on. Come on over here. I need a ride. You know, you can drive me over there. I don't really want to. Where are you going? I got to go work in Memphis and Tupelo. No, did you say Memphis? Yeah, Memphis. Ooh. And I'm in your corner? Yeah. Okay, I'm going. So I was in, so I guess did something at the New Daisy Fair, and it had the show out in had the show in Tupelo. So that was a dream come true, being able to actually manage Mr. Hughes on two shows in Memphis and able to work with the greatness, which was the Nature Boy. Now, any wrestling fan knows that the rest of the Nature Boy, of course, is Buddy Rogers. Without a doubt, Ric Flair. But Nature Boy Buddy Landell was a tremendous talent and one of my favorites. And to, you know, be opposite in his opponent's corner was, oh my gosh, what a great experience. I mean, I feel like I've been so blessed with so many different things in life that I've experienced. It's just tremendous. And then the night before I got to participate with Mr. Hughes, I was managing him. We're the heels against beautiful Bobby Eaton, who is such a tremendous, nicest guy in the world, and Mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart, who is a Memphis legend. So I got Jimmy Hart, Bobby Eaton in one corner, Mr. Hughes and me in the corner. And I'm thinking back to that little thing on Sesame Street or Mr. Rogers or whatever. I think it was Sesame Street. One of these things is not like the other. Tell me which one does it belong. It's me. You know, I didn't do too bad. I was able to survive and get through it. You know, I just was blessed. When I would go down to the little things down in Mobile for the Gulf Coast reunion, you know, they say, well, I had the biggest fear my first time going down there. This is before all the thing with the Tosh.0 stuff came out, where I was thinking someone's going to stop the show and just stop the banquet, whatever it is. All right, there's a mark here, and I'll be right. I know, it's me, I'm leaving. But thankfully, it did happen that way. Thankfully, they don't do that. But it was just tremendous. You know, I've had many great opportunities. Some of them probably I could have handled better. Some of them probably, you know, but hey, you make the best of what you got to do. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Now, one of the things that professional wrestling has employed almost since the very beginning is the Battle Royal. I know it's popular with a lot of fans, some fans not a fan of it. You can also say the same within the industry. Some people don't really enjoy doing them. Other people like having a Battle Royal to be part of the show. What's your stance on Battle Royals as it relates to wrestling, be it in the past when you were watching or even current day?
To be honest, I haven't given the Battle Royal one second of thought till you brought up. I've enjoyed them. I mean, you know, Battle Royal can take place in many different ways. Sometimes there's a lot of thought and there's a lot of ideas. I mean, I've enjoyed Battle Royals. I mean, you go to independent shows, sometimes you see the band and ship battle roll, everybody's just hopping over the rope to, you know, get done, get a payoff, and get out of there. But I tell you, I have enjoyed battle rolls. I do enjoy the Royal Rumble. I think that kind of is what, you know, a lot of battle rolls have evolved into nowadays. With the, because, the Royal Rumble, generally they have, you know, at least for a while they'd have a few angles coming out of there, a few new feuds heading over to WrestleMania, you know. And, you know, and now they made it, you know, mean something else because, you know, winter goes to WrestleMania and all. So I guess I kind of like them. I mean, I didn't never really think that, you know, I was a Battle Royal fan. But I guess upon further examination, I guess, you know, I never disliked them or anything. But I guess, you know, I can dig it.
Another part of professional wrestling that has exploded in the last 5 years or so is women's wrestling. It's taken much more seriously now by fans and by promoters than it had been in the past. In the territorial days of wrestling, you would have one, maybe two women's matches on a standard show. Every so often, a promoter would try an all-women's promotion, but those were almost always gimmicky type of things and not really made to be taken very seriously. Now women's wrestling might have a handful of matches on a standard show, and the women's promotions are some of the best wrestling anywhere. What's your stance on women's professional wrestling especially back in the territorial days, were you a fan of it? And what do you think of the evolution of that aspect?
Well, it all depends on how it's played out. Number one, I don't think it's going to be able to fail because Stephanie McMahon is a power player in the WWE. And, you know, if they're smart, I mean, you don't set up the person who's in charge to fail. You don't set the boss. Even if it doesn't succeed, you can spin it till you win it. I mean, you know, look at, you know, certain things going on in politics today. Look at certain things going on with, you know, hey, you know, our man's this, you know, our whatever's the best, you know. A lot of times you don't get, you know, it's not what's really going on. It's how do you spin it. I think the women's should be successful. I think they need to make sure they take some planning and book it. I mean, I wouldn't put a couple of people who really, while they may be trained, may not be the best. You have to base promotions, and you got to base stuff on more than just looks. You have to do talent. You can do certain things. You can have it to where you set up where you might have a very good wrestler, you know, carrying somebody. You know, I'd put somebody in. If somebody's coming in there in one of their first match, if it's Rousey, she showed great athleticism. I thought her match at Mania was tremendous. I thought Ronda did a great job. I thought that a lot of the other stuff going on there is. I'm impressed with Nia Jax. I enjoyed Awesome Kong a few years back. She was real nice. Kia Stevens is great. I'm proud for her doing so well in Glove. Enjoyed a lot, like I said, a lot of the ladies, you know, Candy Devine, you know, a few others. Can they pull it off with the women's revolution or the women's evolution? Yeah. But I don't see why they couldn't. At the end of the day, they need to make sure that they try to do a little bit of what Paul Heyman used to do in ECW, where, and what other promoters have done. And you can also say Jimmy Cornette did it too. Where, like, you know, during certain matches, like Public Enemies matches, you'd see where their strengths are emphasized and their weaknesses are decreased. Same thing with certain things that Cornette did. New Jack was a heck of a talker. His ring work maybe not his strongest point compared to talking. Well, what happens? You go in there and you emphasize the strengths and you try to de-emphasize any weaknesses. If they do that, yeah. But as far as will it be successful, people already subscribe to the network. It's not like you're selling a pay-per-view. I think that as a one-time deal, it should be very successful. As a multiple-time deal, who knows? But I do think it's about time they did something, because if they don't, it's hard to sell it that you're providing the women's, you know, you're providing, you know, women wrestling, and then you're not letting you run Saudi Arabia where, you know, women just learned, Jim, women were just able to drive last week or, you know, last month or something. You know, you got to be careful and make sure you have a cohesive message, you know, and make sure that you do that. And for them, you know, for whatever reason, I'm glad they're doing it. I'm glad they're opening up that for where women can get paid. I want to see how they're doing their TV. Do you have all women on all the TV shows? Do you do anything with the men leading up? That's going to be interesting to see. But that kind of stuff's going to be interesting. It's all the devil's in the details. Can you make it work? Sure. But then again, it seemed like, you know, the feud with WWE and WCW was a home run, no way to miss it. Well, it wound up being a little something different. May not have been thought of as successful at the time. Looking back, hindsight is 2020.
One of the things that is hot right now in wrestling here in 2018 is Japanese wrestling. You have New Japan, which may be the hottest promotion on the planet. Of anybody. You have promotions like DDT and All Japan that are doing very well, and they're starting to get noticed by American fans. And the territorial days, there is a smaller section of fans that followed the Japanese product through wrestling magazines or through the newsletters, tape trading, what have you. Were you ever much of a fan of Japanese wrestling?
Tape trading, absolutely. DVD trading. I'm sitting in a room and I got many, many discs. I have DVDs left over. Fan of tape trading. Japanese, not as much. Can I appreciate a talent like Tatsumi Fujinami? Absolutely. Can I appreciate Okada? Sure, I can. You know, a lot of talents you can appreciate, okay? Is it my cup of tea? Not necessarily. I was at a show this week in Chattanooga, the Scenic City Invitational Tour, or Invitational Tournament, I should say, and it was a very good show. And a lot of fans, you know, I can like, you know, like I like some of the new stuff. I like the territorial stuff, obviously. I can appreciate Jonathan Gresham is a great guy. He wrestles wonderfully in Ring of Honor. I think Delirious does a great job over there. I think Whitmer and a lot of other people who are involved in the product in the program do a great job. A lot of great talent. Cody, Bucks, all these guys, great talents. Wrestling kind of looks like it's evolving into more of a show where, I don't want to say the Rocky Horror of professional wrestling, but a lot of the fans are involved and they, you know, like to, you know, get behind their guys and, you know, at least we're not getting a lot of the, you know, you effed up and chants like that as we used to. But at the same time, you know, they have a more athletic style. They do great things in the ring. One thing I did like is the heat, okay? Like, as far as territorial wrestling, you'd see some stuff where, you know, the fans really want to get in there and choke the heel. And that's great stuff right there. I like seeing that when I've worked for other promotions and I'm working as a heel manager or whatever. That's one thing I attempt to do, to go in there and be that jerk character, to be that guy that you hate, that you want to, you know, go after. Because it's cathartic, you know. Fans, the way how I used to look at wrestling, and maybe I'm a relic and outdated myself at 44 years old, but I look at it as people can go to there and for 1 hour, 2 hours, whatever, forget their cares, forget their challenges, forget that, you know, they may be, you know, having a bill coming up or having some problems on the job or at home, and just go in there and see that they got a ultimate good guy, ultimate bad guy, that, you know, you can cheer, you can boo. I mean, it's this classic story, whether you're looking at comic books or Star Wars with Luke Skywalker against Darth Vader, or even Dallas with Bobby against his brother J.R., you know, Bugs Bunny against Yosemite Sam or Elmer Fudd. You know, it's the thing, you know, you get the story of, you know, good versus evil, the, you know, the underdog versus, you know, the system, whatever. And you get to lose yourself in that and cheer the baby faces and boo the heels and despise the bad guy, love the good guy. Or if you're like I was when I was going to shows, I couldn't stand the baby faces. I'd cheer the heels. When they told me to shut up, I'd cheer and pop just because. I kind of prefer that to a certain extent where you got it. It does kind of take it out. It kind of takes it out because I know it's a dance. I know that both parties have to cooperate in wrestling, and wrestling can be kind of a dance where you get the you know, for a great match, you know, the good guy and the bad guy have to, you know, be on the same page. But at least you don't have them, you know, shaking hands, hugging in the middle of the ring after they've had a bloodbath, unless it's, you know, the end of a feud. It's not just, you know, something that started today, you know. Or putting each other, hey, that was the greatest match. I'm glad you're my brother. You know, thank you. You know, I'll message you and call you tomorrow on Twitter. I mean, I like it where it's a little more heated. When I first learned the insides of wrestling in 92, I kind of wished that it was where, you know, hey, you know, we have to work together, but I don't really like him. You know, it kind of took it out. It kind of made me a little bit sad as far as that goes, that it wasn't more to it. But I still can appreciate a great technical match with someone like a Jonathan Gresham. I can appreciate a great six-man lucha match or a six-man match with great aerial wrestlers or shoot fighters or whatever. I can appreciate the UFC. I can appreciate, you know, I enjoy WrestleMania every year. There's always something on there I can enjoy. I mean, I enjoy everything, but I can enjoy something. It's just, what does it evolve to? My preference, hey, you know, I like it where it's a little more heated, I guess a little more old school, a little more Southern style, whatever. That's just my take on it. You know, if I think of it like a buffet, I can have anything I want, but I'm probably, you know, I'm probably going to, you know, get a, piece of steak first, even though I can get, you know, a little bit of everything. It doesn't mean I hate everything else. It just means, well, that's my go-to thing, you know. What's your comfort food, mac and cheese? I mean, you get my point.
Absolutely. One of the things that is completely different in this era of wrestling as opposed to the territorial days is the influx of social media. That didn't exist when wrestling was in its territorial era.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Obviously, things would have been much, much different if there was a form of the internet and social media in the territories.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think? What do you think would have happened if the social medias we have today would have existed in the days of the territorial wrestling era? Do you think that things would have been much worse off, much better, around the same? What do you think would have happened?
Totally unknown. Here's the deal. Because right now we have to have the internet, we got to have cell phones, we got to have all this stuff to have social media. Number one, the idea was to protect the business. Certain things are already out of the bag in our day and time. You have UFC promoted right now. You have that. Social media in the territories and everything, it'll be like Wrestling Magazine. There wasn't a social media, you know, like you said. But as far as it goes, I mean, right now, wrestling was too successful in the territories because there was real emotion involved, because people thought they were seeing a real fight, because people believed in Dusty Rhodes and hated Gary Hart and Pac Song, because people loved, you know, seeing, you know, Dusty Rhodes challenge Ric Flair or Black Jack Mulligan or Greg Valentine or whatever, or out there, and, you know, people wanted to see, somebody go up against Rip Oliver or Mike Miller or whoever, you know, Colonel DeBeers and Wiskowski. It wouldn't have worked, and because there, like I said, right now you got, what, 200 channels of TV if you got Comcast, 300 if not. You know, you probably got similar if you got, you know, Dish or something like that. Right now, wrestling, the competition with wrestling isn't, you know, really other wrestling. You're looking at competition being, you know, for independent wrestling at least, you know, your Netflix. You know, it's part of your entertainment budget. I want to go see an independent show, or I want to pay $9.99 or $14.99 for Netflix, whatever it is. You get the WWE Network, you got, you know, endless hours of streaming wrestling. Back in the territory days, you had only one kind of wrestling in Memphis, Tennessee. And you didn't see that in Georgia. And you didn't see that, say, the Georgia wrestling in Alabama, unless you lived on a state that might get all of them and had a big antenna. You know, it was a different era. It couldn't work. Has it been good or bad? Well, as far as if you're looking for heat, it's definitely taken the, you know, we broke the fourth wall. We now know that, you know, we have some predetermined finishes. We know we have some choreographing going on. But at the same time, you know, it can be used where, you know, there is, you know, can it be worked? I'm sure to build an angle. Yeah, I'm sure it is. I'm sure it has been before. I'm sure it will be again. But, you know, the thing that's real in the territory days and now is people will break their neck trying to see a real fight, whether it's in WWE, independent wrestling, UFC, whatever. And if they think something's real, yeah, they're going to want to pay to see it. The grudge still works. That's why you got people who, you know, I know this guy hates that guy, so I got to go see it. You know, there still is some of that. At the same time, too, you know, I'm happy that without social media, you know, you couldn't pull off something like an all-in where fans can travel to Chicago. I put my hat off to Cody Rhodes and the Bucks for being able to do that. Do so good. I hope Flip Gordon's booked. You know? Hey, man, I can understand that story. That's an easy story to understand. Hey, a guy wants to compete. He's trying to work his butt off to compete. You know, so that's, you know, one thing. But not turn the drone on. No, social media territories. Don't see it happening. Don't see it as successful back then as it would be. I don't see it as successful if it was there as if it is, you know, as since it wasn't, if you know what I mean. I like it better without it where, you know, hey, we're Dusty Rhodes said it will never be over, Ole Anderson. Payback is hell, Daddy. There we go.
Well, at
I
this
can't
point
see Bud Sawyer
I...
and Tommy Rich saying, great match, brother. You know, come on.
Absolutely. Well, my co-host QT Vokes is standing by, and I'm sure he has some questions as well. So, does help you as I pass things over to QT.
Absolutely. QT, you're up with Big Dave Wills. What's going on, buddy?
Well,
wait a minute. You're the host. I'm the guest.
It's nice to talk with you. Yes. But one of my first question is, had you heard of the Turnbuckle Turmoil show before we contacted you and requested an interview? We've been on the air for about 7 years now.
I'd heard a little bit. I had done some research. After I did some research, I saw I had a you guys do a great do some great stuff and everything. I wish I'd seen it. I have a busy life of work and my regular duties and stuff like that, so I don't get to enjoy podcast and radio as much as I'd like to. But I'm very happy that I have introduced, and I fully intend on being a loyal listener and staying tuned in as often as I can. Y'all doing some great work out there, buddy.
Well, you know, a lot of work does go into the preparing for a podcast. Some of it comes naturally. I think both Sign Guy and myself bring a little bit of slightly divergent style to the show. It's like cooking up a pot of gumbo.
Yeah.
Well, how many podcasts had you yourself done or are still doing?
You know, a while back I used to, with my buddy Mark Danger, until he moved out of the area, we used to do the David Danger Show for GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. GWH's Do's and Notes. And I enjoy doing that. We get a chance to interview stuff, folks like, you know, Bruno Sammartino, Scandal Akbar, Wildcat Wendell Cooley, Rotten Ron Starr. Quite a large combination of folks. But with my time schedule, his time schedule, we hadn't made it work. We talked about coming back and doing a few shows. We haven't yet. Who knows? I love podcasting. I love doing interviews and stuff. I like, you know, asking the questions and seeing the answers. If we make news, great. If we break some news, great. If we do a great interview, great. Hey, you know, whole idea is to put over the boys. They're the ones who sacrificed their bodies for our entertainment, to, you know, to make pay. And, hey, you know, they're the guys. And enjoy doing that. I've spoke on a lot of podcasts, you know, some are local, some are nationwide. Did some interviews with, oh, man, there's a whole bunch of them. I really don't want to, you know, name anybody and leave anybody out. But, you know, I'm very appreciative of all the interviews which I've done, and I've really been blessed to do that. I'm really, really humbled and honored that you guys invited me on your show, believe me.
Well, Dave, now, back in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, wrestling was a cultural, how would you say, it had a seismic shift in the culture of America. One of the events that could have shaped, how would you say, cultures or changed cultures happened. In 1950s, I don't remember the lady that went over to Japan for the first time. It wasn't Penny Banner. And it wasn't Ella Waldack, but she went over there, and it was the first time that the Japanese people, and especially the women, had seen a lady wrestler in a costume. And it was the first time that a lady wrestler body slammed a man in the ring. All the ladies, Japanese ladies, were stunned at ringside, and many believe that this was the seismic shift of the starting culture to empower women in Japan. It was that powerful. I was wondering if you knew the lady that went over there. I think she wrestled under...
possibly Mildred Burke, maybe? I don't know. I'm just... It's just the first name that came in my head. I could be incorrect.
Yeah, there you go. Mildred Burke. Yes.
Well, wrestling also helped in America, in the Southeast United States, where in Memphis there was separation of African Americans and Caucasians back in civil rights, and I think it was the Billy Wicks and the the Cadillac It was a feud down there in Memphis, and it'll come back to me in a minute, where they pretty much were able to Sputnik Monroe is who it is. Billy Wicks, Sputnik Monroe, where they were wrestling and going up there, and they wound up kind of integrating the Coliseum too. I mean, it helped. That was an amazing shift in Memphis right there. Wrestling can have some good things. Now, granted, wrestling's done a lot of bad things, you know, a lot of xenophobia, a lot of race baiting has been done with wrestling. A lot of gay baiting's been done with wrestling. You know, there's a lot of things that's not good that's been done with wrestling, but it has done some of that stuff. Will we see divas? Are we going to see an Alexa Bliss match on a show in Saudi Arabia? Who knows? If it is, I'm sure that that'd be great, and I'm sure WWE will tell us all about it, and many press releases and press conferences and all kind of good stuff after that. Hey, you got to put yourself over. Somebody's got to, you know. We do something good.
Well, I would like to see the lady wrestling break in some of those countries in the Mideast, like Saudi Arabia, maybe Yemen, which is pretty impoverished right now. I know that wrestling kind of touches on subjects that were at one time taboo. What did you think of the Billy and Chuck angle?
The Billy and Chuck angle?
Yes.
I haven't in years. I didn't even think about the Billy and Chuck angle. My personal take on stuff is that I personally could care less what anybody does in their life. I have friends who come from a great, vast group of, you know, all walks of life and races and creeds and orientations and identities and all. And it's great. Hey, it don't hurt anybody being themselves and everything. I don't have time to hate. I got a lot of stuff in my life. Do I think certain portrayals are wrong? I did not like seeing, I thought the guys were good at their act, but I thought WWF should have thought twice about promoting African Americans as crime time. Hello? What are you doing? Come on. Having, Hispanics come out and ride in lawnmowers as the Juan Deers as the Mexicals. No, I thought that was kind of disturbing right there. And thankfully, they're not doing as much of that, you know. But at the same time, as far as the Billy and Chuck angle, it wound up, there was going to be no payoff. Society, they weren't nearly that ready to do that. Thankfully, they're doing hopefully a lot better, and you know, they need to stick away from that. As a publicly traded company, I think they're a little more careful about what they present nowadays. God, I hope they are.
Well, in my opinion, the Billy and Chuck, when it first introduced, I believe it had about as much impact as a Bobby Riggs and Billie Jean King tennis match. That's my opinion.
No, yeah. I believe because they were heels that were kind of encouraging. Can you remember what the chants were when the Beverly Brothers came out? And, you know, it wasn't Beverly. It was something that rhymed with the word maggot, okay? And I thought that was wrong, honestly, for them to encourage it. Now they're presenting it kind of where it's a little more face, you know. And you got to give people stuff to believe in. Are you going to be able to always do that? And are the same fans who are, you know, in the Southeast going to feel the same way the fans in the Northeast or the Pacific Northwest? No, it's not going to happen, unfortunately. There are certain things people are going to get out in the Pacific Northwest that they're not going to get here in Georgia or Alabama. Mega Barishi Ahmed, whatever Ed Wiskowski was doing it, perfect thing for over there with the guru and everything.
It was
here for
Rajneesh. It was a cult out here.
Yes, exactly. People understood that around here. We don't know what that is there, huh? lots of guru. Yeah, I'm not bashing the people around me, but I mean, some of the fans still are a little bit, they know, but they want to suspend disbelief. I know if I'm watching a magic show, I know that you're going to see the bunny rabbit it gets in the hat some way. The magician just don't pull it out of the air. But I don't want to see the trap door the bunny rabbit's going in. He can eat his tricks till it's time for him to go out. Okay.
But you know, I think that I think a lot of it is society's changing. I think we're at a point in America right now where you know we're kind of at a crossroads. Some people are not happy with certain directions the company's going. The country's going. You can see that by a rise in, you know, certain folks. I mean, a lot of people were surprised that Donald Trump was elected. I was one. I figured I'd wake up and see Hillary Clinton as president. Now, regardless, I'm not going to get into, you know, bad or good. You know, I'm by home of personal opinions. But you see, you have some people who are on one side that has a little extreme, and some people are on the other side that has a little extreme. Where are we gearing up for? I don't know. It's going to be very interesting in the next upcoming elections, in the next upcoming years, to see exactly where all this pans out, and to see if we stay on a if we stay on our road right now, or we veer off in a more conservative or more liberal direction. How will that take place? It's going to be interesting. Very.
Yeah, I think so. It's kind of like the late 60s and early 70s. Yes.
I see a parallel, definitely. I agree with you on that. Absolutely. There definitely is somewhat of a parallel. Are we going to see, you know, the same things we saw then? Going to get even more interested. What is it they say? What Jim Ross says, business is about to pick up. Remember. Remember, kids listening at home, read, put something in your head, not on it. You know, follow history, you'll learn something here. Reading is fundamental.
Speaking of history, I did a little bit of research on Portland wrestling and the territorial days. I was stunned to find out that Don Owens started what was the first regular wrestling program on TV back on July 10th, 1953.
Mm-hmm.
Holy smokes, 53, and it was Portland Northwest Wrestling,
mm-hmm.
and it was original 60-minute live program, and it was originally called Heidelberg Wrestling, and it was named for its sponsor, Heidelberg Brewing Company of Tacoma, Washington. I didn't know that.
No, I did not know that either. That's very interesting. I know that sponsors have been able to help with wrestling for years out there, and that's a good thing. You know, whether it was the Memphis television station of WMC not charging for certain things, or whether I think there was a furniture sponsor out there. What was it? Tom's Electron, Tom's Furniture. What was it? Owens,
it was
longtime sponsor. Yeah,
yes.
He was able to help and all, and I think they went to, what, 91, 92, 93, somewhere around there.
92.
You know. Yeah, 92. It was great. You know, that's been very helpful. It's also surprising to see, you know, I was actually very saddened last week whenever I saw the passing of Brickhouse Brown. He competed quite a bit in Portland, as a matter of fact. And I thought he would great. I thought he really should have went further than he did, honestly. I really wasn't a fan of Mr. Brickhouse Brown. May he rest in peace.
Yes, it was a sad week last week. Yes.
And so same way with Brian Christopher, you know, and also, Nikolai Volkov, great stuff. And that's one thing about now social media. A lot of the fans, for whatever it is, it's brought, you know, a lot of people have a little more understanding and a little more respect for what these guys go through. Whenever I stood up and said my little thing that got my fame about, you know, it being real, I'm thinking about, you know, these guys have sacrificed so much for my entertainment. Does anybody tell them thank you? And this was about 10 years ago, you know, 12 years ago. And it seems that a lot of people now are seeing more and, you know, appreciating more. The only thing that concerns me is a lot of the guys who are doing a lot of this stuff that's, you know, death-defying and leaps and, you know, just killer athleticism. I just hate to see what they're going to be like, you know, in, you know, a few years, what their quality of life is. I mean, I understand you got to do what you got to do, but doggone, I don't want to see nobody, you know, severely hurt or, you know, disabled or anything like that. Really.
Like so.
Absolutely. Don't want to see them have to go through that for sure. So, you know, will people taper back? Who knows? But we hope that they do, as a matter of fact. It's going to be very interesting for sure upcoming. Everybody says, you know, hey, slow down. You know, will anybody do that? Generally they don't. And then they tell others to slow down whenever they're broken down and hurt. And people do what they can right now, make the dollar now. And it's a Faustian bargain, tragic. But, you know, people are drive-driven to see what they can. Hopefully we won't have a few deaths in wrestling for a while. Or we have some that are for old age and everybody did well. I know that's a little Pollyannish, but so be it. Hey, I'm in a good mood. I want to have a good day, and I want to wish people the best, you know?
Well, you know, Dave, there's been a lot of focus, especially with the NFL, on this concussion issue. And now you can see it's raising its head with this no-helmet lead policy. In the preseason game you just had this week, I think the Vikings might have been involved, mm-hmm. or Baltimore, they had four penalties for head leading with a helmet. Now, I think there's someone in the front office of the NFL that really wants to cut down on the amount of head injuries, and it's going to change football. I even heard one sportscaster say that they're going to institute, for one down, flag football. They're going to slowly integrate flag football in the NFL, and that's going to be kind of like the downfall. And that's now focused on Vince McMahon bringing back the XFL, where players will be hired to lead with their head and injuries be damned, and they know what they're signing up for. Do you see a huge comeback in the XFL for Vince McMahon, who may sign up players that don't really care and go for the money, injuries be damned?
Well, here's another thing, too. It's going to be interesting to see how that shakes out anyways, because you got a caught competitor already. I think they had flag football in last week. Ebersol's got his I forget what the name of it, but he's got his little thing he's going to be doing as well. So it's going to be quite interesting to see exactly what they do. I'm going to see how it's going to wind up affecting combat sports, your boxing, your UFC, your MMA, your WWE. I can't see them putting headgear on folks and people being okay with that. I can't see a lot of that kind of stuff going on either. So it's going to be... it's going to be interesting to see exactly where they wind up shaking out.
Okay. Well, now, Dave, you have forever been linked with the saying, of course, it's still real to me, damn it.
Yes.
Have you ever thought of putting this on the back of a T-shirt and having another saying on the front of the T-shirt? I might have a few suggestions that you might put on the front of a T-shirt that went along with your saying. Can I pass along some of them to you?
Absolutely. I'm all ears, my friend. I'm all ears.
Okay. How about on the front of the T-shirt, you miss 100% of the shots you never take, by Wayne Gretzky?
Well, I don't know. Maybe not. I don't know.
Oh, okay. All right. How about... you cannot shake hands with a clenched fist, by Indira Gandhi?
It's a good saying, but I don't know if it fits totally in with my thing. I think both of them have a little bit higher level.
Oh, okay. All right. How about, the pessimist complains about the wind, the optimist expects it to change, the realist adjusts the sails, by William Arthur Ward?
Excellent quote. I don't know how that works on a T-shirt.
Oh, okay. All right. All right. Well, Dave, have you ever got to talk privately with Jerry Lawler about his on-air incident on the Dave Letterman show with Andy Kaufman?
No, I have not. Now, one saying that I think might work with that T-shirt, I may have one later tonight. I'll think about that. But, no, I haven't talked to Jerry Lawler privately very much about that. I've had a couple conversations and told him hello and stuff like that. That's about the extent of my conversations with Mr. Lawler.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Dave, I listened to your shoot interview with Vince Russo, and you were speaking about the Attitude Era, and shortly afterwards, you mentioned at the 12:31 mark, Ric Flair in the desert. You mentioned something about that. What was this storyline? Yeah. Missed it.
Lord, I'm trying to forget it. It was where I think they had Ric Flair out in the desert, and he was laid out there. I can't exactly remember what it was. It was something I watched then. I don't have that greatest of a memory. But I know that they left him out in the desert lying and everything. I'm glad you listened to. I appreciate you listening to the interview right there, Mr. Russo. I really appreciate that for sure. I think it was back where they had the Russo book and the Filthy Animals, stuff like that and all. Is what happened. I forget exactly who all laid him out, but I remember what you're talking about there. The Filthy Animals buried him in the desert is what it was.
Whoa. Okay.
He was buried alive in a desert. Yeah, that's what it was.
Would you say this storyline is about as good as Sting going to hunt Vampiro in a graveyard?
As far as good as or as bad as, I'd say probably equal to, maybe. I don't know. I like my wrestling, somewhat realistic based and somewhat, I don't know. I don't want to say believable, you know. It all depends. If it's done right, my take on this, when wrestling's done right, when it's done well, people enjoy it. You get a mixture of hybrid entertainment because you get drama and athleticism and good versus evil and larger than life characters and a battle of, it's a great entertainment. You may see athletics, which is acrobatics. You may see feats of strength. I mean, it's like all the circus performances in one. And if you're at an indie show, you pay $10 and you may be close to ringside or $20, whatever. When wrestling's done well, it can make you stand up. It can make you sit down. It can make you cheer. It can make you boo. It can even make you cry. I found that out the hard way. Well, but I mean, on other things, Eddie Guerrero wins the belt, Cactus, Mick Foley wins the belt, Ric Flair retires, It can bring the emotion out in you. When wrestling's done poorly or done wrong, there ain't a heck of a lot else worse. I mean, it's pretty damn bad then.
I hear that, yes. Yes. All right. Well, Dave, at one point in the interview with Vince Russo, he spoke about learning from his mistakes, and in particular, he said he once set up a match with Al Snow and the Boss Man, the dog kennel match from hell, and he surrounded the cage with pit bulls, and he thought they were all going to be snarling, but they were pretty domesticated, and they were calm. I got a kick out of that.
It was interesting, but then again, maybe that's why I watch a lot of UFC now, or why I watch a little UFC. Okay, you got a good guy, you got a guy you're cheering for, a guy you're not cheering for, whether he's a good guy or a bad guy. You got whoever, and you go in there and you fight, and you don't need a lot of, extra this or extra that. I'm one of the best wrestling matches I'm looking forward to is when we see Daniel Cormier face Brock Lesnar. That's going to be a heck of a battle right there.
Ooh, very good. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, well, Dave, celebrity boxing matches used to be all the rage about 20 years ago.
Not with me, they weren't. Not with me. I'm sorry. It's damn not real to me there. But continue, please.
Well, you had such matches such as Screech versus Horshack, Todd Bridges versus Vanilla Ice, Joey Buttafuoco versus Joni Lauer, Paula Jones versus Tonya Harding. My question is, if Sign Guy and myself can get together and work this out, would you be willing to put yourself in a celebrity boxing match with Jeremy Borash? I think Sign Guy and myself could pay top dollar, yes. At least some of the hot dogs when you get out here, and maybe some gas.
Oh, hell no. I've done one wrestling match, and I'm happy doing very little more. Believe me, it was it's horrible, atrocious. Yeah. Mr. Borash, I'm sure, is doing fine. They're doing whatever he's doing now in NXT or whatever. I'm sure he's doing well.
Oh, darn. Okay. I would have loved to have seen that match. Yes. Okay. Right.
You'd be one of the few, and I'd advise you, if you'd like to see it, I recommend Lens Crafters for all your eyewear needs. Obviously, you're missing seeing something there. You may not have that worked on there, buddy.
All right. Well, Dave, it was good talking with you. I'm going to turn it back over to Sign Guy now.
Sounds great.
Thank you, QT. Well, Dave, we got just a few moments left here on the show today, so I want to give you those moments. And if there's anything you would like to say to the listeners, plug and promote anything that you would like to plug and promote, social medias, any appearances, merchandise, your favorite television show, anything in the world's all yours.
Well, I appreciate that. I'm Dave Wills. I'm a guy in Atlanta, just a fan. Ordinary guy put in an extraordinary situation. I'm very thankful to you and QT for taking your time to interview me on this Sunday afternoon. I'm very humbled and appreciate it. If any fans wish to interact, that's fine. I'm at Twitter on @StillRealDave on Twitter. Would love to follow anybody or anybody follow me, communicate. Always great to be involved and you to talk about wrestling with great fans and great hosts. Really enjoy your show. Honored to be a part of it with so many guests. And I think for QT's benefit, I've figured out something I might have on that shirt that he was talking about.
Whoa. What's that?
QT, what about this? What if I put on there that, something like, if I was advertising, I'd be like, hey, this is YouTube and Tosh.0's crying wrestling fan, Dave Wills. And guess what? Turnbuckle, this scary. I think that could cover everything.
Well, that would be something.
Would definitely be better than Ric Flair being buried in the desert or Screech versus Horshack. Anyway.
Oh, yeah.
But seriously, gentlemen, thank you for having me on. If I can ever do anything for you again, just reach out, man. We always appreciate it. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you very much. We appreciate it greatly. I wouldn't mind picking up one of those T-shirts. So, fans, get out there, support your local independent wrestling. Maybe you'll see Dave Will sitting next to you in the crowd if you're at a local show near him. Get out there, support what wrestling is all about, and we will talk to you next week, next Friday afternoon. We're going to be back with you, and we will have Lewis Goodman Jr., the Sinister Syndrome, with us. And a week from today, it's one of our local fans up here in the Pacific Northwest, Jay Stevens, going to be joining us. If you've gone to a show at the Kitsap Peninsula over the last 10 years, you've seen Jay for sure. So join us then, and we'll be back with you next week.